fellow Jersey guy, always repping the 201 on Twitter. You could follow along using the handle @Mike_Yam. Our pal Mike Yam checks in. It's been about a month since we last spoke. A lot has happened, Mike. How are you and yours holding up during the madness that has become our lives?
First of all, I can't believe it's been a month since the last time we talked on air. You know, it's sort of crazy. I think I speak for a lot of football fans. Could not be more happy that we're going to get some football here in a couple of weeks. From a, of course, a Pac-12 perspective, because we've been watching football at the NFL level, and then obviously for some other teams around the country playing college ball.
In that 4 or 5 weeks, obviously much has happened with you, with the network, but you're still in the game, thank goodness. You're one of the best in the business at what you do. So I hear from a lot of folks. I know you get a lot of support on social media, and many have asked, how's he doing? So what are you up to? Fill us in on the latest.
I got to tell you, Steve, you know, people, have you seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix?
I have not.
Okay, so here's where I'm going with this, and anyone who's watched it, and by the way, I do recommend it, because it's this crazy thing about social media and just sort of like these influences in our lives, and I think at the end of the day, Steve, and I know this is going to sound really cheesy, but I finished watching that doc, and I was ready to throw my phone and, like, not go on Twitter, not be on Instagram or Facebook, and, you know, there's such a negative connotation. I think there's obviously some negatives that come with social media, but the one thing that I've learned the last few months, man, is just there are some positive things, and it is insanely humbling the amount of people that have tweeted at me, tweeted at the network, trying to get me my job back, which is just insane to me. I'm so thankful. I honestly thought, like, after, you know, I kind of posted that I was going to be back, people would kind of forget. It's crazy, man. The support has really been amazing. But like you said, still in the game, working at Sirius Radio, covering the Pac-12. So we've been doing our shows on Sirius XM Radio, and I've been freelancing with Intel Sports on some new technology around the NFL. And I actually just signed a small deal with the NFL Network, so I'll be starting with those guys at the end of October through the football season. So I bought myself some time here to get a full-time gig, and things are good, man. I am definitely blessed. There's a lot of really positive things, and in a time that's been, let's just say, like, not ideal for pretty much anyone.
No, but you got to understand, from basically Labor Day through the end of March Madness, I mean, you know how serious folks take their Pac-12 sports. Well, you're at the core, man. We watch the network, and there's Mike there 3-4 times a week. You know, you kind of grow on people, so...
Yeah. You're the only one to say that. I can tell you that, man. I call home. My mom's like, please stop calling. Please stop calling. So I appreciate it. But you're right, man. Like, it's just, you know, it dawned on me after yesterday's announcement, Steve, and I don't know if you felt this way, but, I mean, it's been March since we've been able to watch our teams in this conference. And I think that's been the disappointing thing. And I think most of us can understand, and I have applauded the conference for making the decision that they made and clearly having the health and safety of the student athletes first and foremost there. So I think that's great. I do wish, one, there was a little bit more than 7 games, and that, by the way, is making me sound really greedy. But I do think there's something, and especially, Stephen, you know this, like, Oregon's got a really good football team. And this idea of competing for a college football playoff, I think, does take a little bit of a hit with just 7 games. Now, that said, if Oregon is able to run the table, you know, they got a chance, and they're in that conversation. But I worry about the national narrative, the use of the phrase data points, and how that might work against this league, because I've seen it the last 8 years covering this conference. You know, we need to, our wins don't seem to count as much as everyone else's wins in other leagues, and the losses seem to be more meaningful in a negative way in the Pac-12 conference, and it's really frustrating to see that.
Talking with Mike Yam, you mentioned something I think was vital. You had to have a plan in order for it to come to fruition. All the pieces have to be in place. But, you know, the bottom line is, as of now, you talk about X factors, we've got the COVID virus. It's a dangerous one.
Yeah.
And one of the things I like, and I don't always agree with the commissioner, but the plan following the experts, the data, the science, and the fact that how important is it to understand that it's still about 6 weeks away, and they've made it clear if a step back is taken, the plug could get pulled or there could be a pause.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a really important distinction here, because we even saw it, and I thought the announcement yesterday might have been a different one than I thought maybe 2 days ago, just because of the outbreak in Boulder and the fact that their football team now is 2 weeks from being able to get back onto the football field. Actually, my college roommate actually is a professor at CU, and he was kind of telling me what's happening in that campus. So to your point, yeah, things could get shut down. And look, Larry Scott had made reference to it in the webinar yesterday. He said, you know, when asked specifically about the 7-0, you know, an undefeated team or entry into the college football playoff, like he did say, like, you know, there's other pauses that we're seeing around the country. Now, I do think that means you're almost grasping onto this idea that the Pac-12, it'll be perfect in this league, and then you need some chaos in the other leagues, and I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but you're right, like, there it seems like there's a plan that is in place. The 6 weeks, like, I was talking to Coach Neuheisel about this on radio this morning and the other week, like, he's adamant, 4 weeks, that's all you need. So, unnamed coaches, I'm sure you probably saw the article from Bruce Feldman,
yep,
the Athletic, saying that they need 6 weeks, so, you know, I don't know who to believe, right? You got an unnamed coach saying six. You know, I've talked to players, they say four, maybe five. You know, other coaches like Rick, who's been on record for four. You know, it's hard to really gauge this, but the COVID factor is a major X factor, as you made reference to, Steve.
Yeah, and let's not forget, we don't know for sure that the other four majors are going to play all their games. So let's see what happens. By the way, I'm so happy you brought up Rick Neuheisel, who worked with you in the earlier days of the network. And of course, there was a while when he was a Colorado coach and a Washington coach. He was like public enemy number one in this town. Then he went into broadcasting. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he came on our show a couple times. And everybody was like, I can't believe how much I love that guy. But
no doubt.
So what's he up to now? And as somebody like you, what I do, he is such a fun interview.
Oh my God, he's awesome to be around. And it's funny, like, I remember a bunch of those road trips we would take to Eugene. And, you know, look, man, I love it up in that Oregon area. And Steve, I've been to your studio a handful of times. He would tell me these stories about, you know, I think it was this one point when he got into Eugene, there was a billboard and it was of Rick, and it was sort of maybe not the most positive thing that's there. And then over the years, you know, we got to do some alumni events for the university, and Rick was there, and it was this common theme. Rick, I hated you as a coach, but I got to tell you, like, you're a good dude, you know? And he really is. I mean, he and his wife, Sue, were kind of like my West Coast family and my parents, basically, on the West Coast when I moved out here almost 10 years ago. And he's crushing him. I mean, he's doing his show regularly on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM, and he's still obviously deep in the SEC because of the relationship and the work that he's doing with CBS.
Talking with Mike Yam, I've got to ask you this, because we did such a big show 2 weeks ago, and it was the 19th anniversary of September 11th, that awful Tuesday, and I try to explain to people, when you grow up there and the skyline is a part of your life and it was altered like it's just the different lens, and I just want to, and of course, not only were you from Jersey, but you went to school in the Bronx, but what do you remember about that moment?
You know, Steve, number one, I can't thank you enough for even bringing up this topic, because I got to be honest with you, man. I was really surprised that there wasn't more attention in a lot of sporting events to 9/11 right around that time. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed by that, because to your point, and I get it. Look, I grew up in northern New Jersey. I went to school in New York when 9/11 happened. I lost my cousin in one of the towers. Jeez. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those days, like, you just don't forget it, right? Like, I was in college at the time. I was a junior at Fordham, and I'll never forget. I lived in an apartment with five other guys, and one of my roommates just banging on my bedroom door saying, wake up, oh my God, the towers. And I was like, what's Brendan talking about? And I went out, and he turns on the TV. Well, the TV was on. He's like, look at this. And you know, the first plane had hit the tower, and you know, just everything just freezes at that point. And, like, it's tough, man. Like, I didn't know if I should go home to northern New Jersey, but then my parents just told me, no, stay on the campus, because you were worried about the bridges maybe going down.
Sure.
You know, people didn't really know what to do. And those days after, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to relive some of those moments and to think about, you know, going down to that site and the banners that were up there, people who had lost their loved ones, going to the hospitals in search for their family members. And it was wild. And I think what we're dealing with right now in this COVID social justice era with athletics is I think there's some parallels here, because I always say this, like, you can look at sports as a way to unify people. And, you know, I get the rivalries, right? Like that happened there. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like the one moment that I can think of, Mike Piazza, I actually just tweeted this right around 9/11. Like, I still get chills. You know, you heard the baseball players in New York City say, hey, like, do we go and play these games? And I'll never forget, you know, George Bush going out to Yankee Stadium and throwing out that pitch and the story, you know, kind of behind the scenes as Derek Jeter went up to him and said, you can't bounce it and you got to throw from the rubber. And he didn't. And that's like with, you know, a bulletproof vest on and the whole thing. And then Piazza hitting a home run. Like, I remember, and it sounds kind of stupid if you're not a sports fan, you go, really? But I remember like tearing up when Piazza hit that home run at Chase Stadium. I'm like, it's like an emotional moment. Like, you just need something positive and you're reaching for it. And, you know, I think about that, living in this country, being in the Northeast around that time, it was tough, man. It really was.
Yeah, that Piazza homer was a step forward in the healing.
Yeah.
A couple final thoughts for Mike Yam. Obviously, as you mentioned, you've spent time around this program. Justin Herbert, you know, you've been here within those last 4 years. And about 7 minutes before kickoff last week, he learns he's going to start. But while they lose in overtime to the Super Bowl champs, you know, a lot of folks praised his poise and performance. I mean, to get thrown into the mix like that and to perform like that, I mean, that's a pretty amazing debut for Herbert, no?
No doubt. I mean, are you kidding me? To throw a kid out there like that, and here's the other thing, to not get some of those first team reps in practice because he was not expected to give it a go. And I think Coach Linden made reference, oh, I can't wait to see what he does with some of those first team reps this week, which is going to be really interesting. But, you know, and I would imagine, Steve, you go through Eugene right now, there's a lot of Chargers jerseys. And I think anyone who's listening to your show had this joy of being able to watch one of their own succeed at the college level and really help turn around that Oregon program. And it culminated into, you know, obviously a Pac-12 championship and a Rose Bowl win. To me, what he did on campus was truly amazing. But now to see him have success at the next level is really remarkable. And I would be surprised. You know, I think Justin's going to get a run, you know, the rest of the season. And it's really cool to even just see some of those checkdowns to, you know, a guy like Joshua Kelly, a UCLA kid who's one of the nicest kids that I've been around in my almost 10 years covering this league. So, you know, it's really cool, because we've had so many good, talented players, especially coming out of Oregon, that are now playing on Sundays. So to follow their path as pros is just, it's really cool. It's really special.
Yeah, this is kind of the third time down this path. In the early 2000s, we had Harrington Threes of Detroit Blue, and then Mariota Eights of the Titans, and now the Charger Tens. Lastly, I know you're a big Hoops fan. We're down to a Final Four in the NBA bubble. LA and Miami have pushed Denver and Boston to the brink. But just the fact that in the midst of this pandemic, I mean, they're going to pull it off, and there's going to be a champ. You know, we've seen the social messaging. It's been entertaining. Just personally, how much have you enjoyed what the NBA has done in Orlando?
I've loved it. And I think the NBA and the WNBA have been leaders in this on the bubble. Like, I think, you know, even from shutting it down, like, I don't know if everything shuts down when it does back in March, had it not been for Adam Silver and the NBA sort of taking the charge and taking the lead on this. And they got it right. And I think what we're seeing right now, and I think what's really remarkable, is the fact that the NFL doesn't have a bubble, and yet their numbers are as low as they are. And I think that there's a level of maturity that must be happening amongst its players to keep those COVID numbers down. I think through September 13th through the 19th, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't have one positive test among their players. So to me, that's good. And I think from an NBA perspective, the fact that they've done this and set the example, I think is just, it's incredible. I think what they've done on the social justice standpoint, I think is remarkable, and I applaud those players for using their platforms and hopefully, you know, sort of pushing for more change here in our country. But no doubt, I think it's like two thumbs up and a 10 out of 10 to what the NBA has done with that bubble.
All right. Again, let the folks know how and where they can keep up with what you're up to. We know the Twitter account is at @Mike_Yam, but let them know. Fill us in.
For sure, Sirius Radio, still covering the Pac-12 on Pac-12 Radio, which is on Channel 373 if you're in the car. And then, obviously, the NFL Network at the end of October, man. Really excited to get going with those guys.
Hey, it's great catching up with you. Glad things are going well. And, of course, we'll keep in touch. And who knows? We may actually have ourselves a Pac-12 football season to talk about in a few weeks.
No doubt. And Steve, let's not make it another month before we get to do this again. I'm always willing to come on with you, man. So continue to have some success here in a tough time and stay healthy. More importantly, everyone listening to stay healthy here.
You're the best, Mike. Really appreciate it, my friend. Be well. You stay healthy. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up real soon.
You too. Take care.